Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us your word and reveal yourself to us. Please, by your Spirit, make us able to hear your voice this morning and help us to trust in you as we look at your word. We ask these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Today we'll be reading Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I have two Bible readings for you this morning, and the first is from Matthew 5, and we're reading verses 1 and 2, and that can be found on page 830. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. The next reading is found on the next page, 831, and we're reading from Matthew 6, verses 5 through to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks, Jack. Can you have Matthew 6 open in front of you still? We're thinking about prayer. And I was reminded of when I was in my 20s. Four of us in the car, me and a friend in the back seat, a young woman with her friend in the front seat driving. We're on a country road somewhere, 60 kilometres from the nearest town. That was the key detail. Because as she's driving along, she suddenly blurts out, "Oh no, the petrol lights come on." And we're 60 kilometres from the nearest town. So we talk through the options. You know, do you turn back? What do you do? Do you call for the roadside assistance? You know, bring us a litre of petrol. What do you do? The most obvious thing was to keep driving, but conserve petrol. So turn the air conditioner off. Don't drive very fast. I mean, what are the other things you do? Whatever you can do, we try to do them. And as the petrol gauge touches empty, you know, she's driving a little bit further, suddenly our driver, not known for her kind of respect for God, blurts out a prayer. "Lordy, Lordy, help us to get to the petrol station," she says. I thought, didn't know you had a respect for God. Didn't sort of show in any other facet of life. But there you are. In a jam, she's praying. Do you do that? When you find yourself in a tight spot, when you're unable to do anything but just, I don't know what to do. Do you pray? I expect you do. It's the most natural thing a person can do. Come to the end of your own devices, the end of your own abilities and help, Lord. I expect you do. But prayer, calling out to God for help, is one of those parts where not only are we supposed to do that when we're in a bind, but we're right to do that each and every day as an expression of relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. It's so right that we pray. Do you pray? The thing is, lots of us struggle to pray. Some of us are good at it. That's fine. That's excellent. Praise the Lord. But many of us struggle. Some of us find it hard to be motivated to pray. Like if the thought is that we should pray in the mornings, but I struggle to get out of bed, let alone to pray. Or even if we're brightened up, you know, up at Sparrows, like the thought of praying, but I've got this to do and I can see that needs doing. Like the distractions are aplenty. Some of us find it hard to pray because if we're praying by ourselves, like our prayers sometimes feel like they just hit the ceiling and go no further. Does God really hear? Actually, others of us struggle to pray when we've failed again. And there's a sense of guilt and like, I can't come before God because I've said and done whatever it is. Or actually another thing that hinders when I've been praying and praying and praying for this thing, but the door's very firmly closed. The answer seems to be from God, no, not this way. Oh, that makes it hard to pray. Our new series is called Faithful in Prayer. And it's picking up the appeal from the Apostle Paul to the church, Romans 12, where he urges those who know the love of God and the power of the Spirit. He says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That's what we want to be as a church, faithful in prayer. And we want to be growing in prayer as an expression of our faithfulness. Which is not to say that we're a prayerless church. I don't think that's the case. It's rather to say we want to be a church who continue to grow as those who depend upon the Lord. When our leaders, our ministry leaders, recently did a ministry review of our church, one of the points that they picked up was, it'll be really great for us as a church to keep growing in prayer. And the context that we live in is makes that all the more obvious. Our world around is always pushing you to depend on self. Not look to God, but just you do you. Well, actually, we want to be a church who bucks that trend. We want to depend on the Lord all the more. The Lord Jesus prayed. The Lord Jesus prayed. And he did it often. Wow, well, he depended on God. Well, we should as well. And he gives us in Matthew chapter 6 what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he teaches disciples, a disciple is a learner's like us, to depend on God. When you pray, this is how, he says in chapter 6, verse 5. Oh, notice, just as we come to it, notice that he says there, when you pray, not if. Like the expectation is that you'll be a praying person, and me too, that we will be praying people. Prayer as a routine, normal part of life. Is that you? Is it a routine part of life? Many of us struggle, as I mentioned. Some of us forget to pray. Some of us just get too distracted to pray. Well, today, right now, a masterclass from the Lord Jesus teaching us to pray. He teaches us how and he teaches us why we can pray. It's such a great little passage. Our focus is Matthew 6, 9 to 13, but it is worth just picking up the context from verse 5 just for a moment, because there's two things here that he says don't be like. Avoid these two ideas. Let's just look with me at Matthew 6, verse 5. Oh, I should say we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has all of his disciples come up to him on the mountain and he teaches them. That's what's happening. And when it comes to praying, Jesus gives two opposites to avoid before he then teaches them the positive to learn from. So first, verse 5, avoid being a hypocrite. The hypocrites that are there, they are those who pretend to pray to God. But they're really just speaking, it says there, to be seen. Did you notice that? Verse 5. They're on the street corners in order to be seen by others. What does that mean? It means they're not really praying, they're performing. They're performing to the crowd in order to be thought well of. They're saying, look at how godly I am because I've got all these words and all these prayers. Don't be like them, Jesus says. Pray in secret to your Heavenly Father who sees this. It's hard to be a hypocrite when it's just you before the Lord. Second, avoid being a mindless babbler. That's verse 7. There are babblers who heap up empty phrases, is one way to put their many words. Vain repetitions is another way to put the same idea. The idea is of repeating some mindless incantation, treating prayer as if it's like a magic spell. You know how some people say, abracadabra. And if you say that, like the thought of verse 7 is, if you say some mindless thing like abracadabra over and over and over, then the door will open. No, 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 Jesus is saying, not mindless babble. No, pray to your Heavenly Father with all your heart and with all your mind engaged. He knows what you need. And he loves it when you open your heart and mind to him and tell him and ask him for all that you need. That's a way to honour him. There's two things to avoid. And that's all of that by way of context. Now then, how should we pray? Well, come to verse 9 with me, to Jesus' positive teaching. This then is how you should pray. Address God, our Father in heaven, and then pray for his priorities in this world along with our daily needs. They're the three things I want to sort of step through. Addressing God as Father, praying for his priorities, and then coming to our daily needs. Each of these are a great help, I think. They each teach us that we can pray. I remember, I was saying this to Zoe before, like when I grew up, all of the prayers were like on the screen or in the book, and I didn't think you could pray, you know, just prayers off the cuff. Like that idea freaked me out. So much so that actually I went to another church that had some uni students in it, and then I went to a Bible study that they called a growth group, and they started praying, and it went around the circle, and I could sort of feel the coming to me. I don't have the book. I don't have the words. What are you supposed to pray? I was like stressing out. I can't remember what I did at that particular moment. I might have just sort of passed on. Do you know what they did? The next week, they wrote a sentence for me. Pray this. Oh, is that all you can? You just pray a sentence. Yep. Doesn't have to be long. Can be just like, please God bless my family. Can be something really simple. Help us, God, to trust you. You know, something is... Oh, I can pray like that. That's how I learned to pray. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us... It's not even a long prayer, do you notice? How many words are there? If you were to count those words, maybe 30 words. It took Katie like 30 seconds to say it. You could pray. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to pray. Okay, let's step through it. First, our Father in heaven. So before the Lord gives us things to ask for, categories to request, he affirms how we're related to God. You are those who can call him Father. Oh, here is, in prayer form, the highest privilege of the Christian. We get to call God Father. This is why you would want to be a Christian. so that you can and so that you do call God Father. Here's why we delight in being those who are saved through the cross and adopted by the Spirit. We can call God Abba, Father, like Jesus does. It's the highest privilege and honour a person can have. Like sometimes we can kind of get thinking about all that God gives, all of the things that God gives, and there are many, that's sure. But do you know, the best thing that God gives is himself. He gives himself to you. And you get to know him and call upon him as Father. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that same closeness. They did have a certain closeness. Like Psalm 116 drew that out. They can call upon the name of the Lord. They called him God, the Lord, the Father of Lord of heaven and earth. And Psalm 116 even said there, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. So that fact alone keeps you coming back to prayer, doesn't it? When God hears you. They had a closeness of relationship when it says, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness? And the answer being, I will pray. I will draw near and call upon the name of the Lord. They found great comfort, assurance and strength in drawing near to God. But you get to relate to God even more closely. You get to call him Father. The same closeness of relationship that Jesus himself has with the Father is now opened to you. I hope that wows you. I hope that makes you think, that's an incredible privilege. You can call God Father. He's not distant. He's not uncaring. He knows. He knows what you're walking through. And he's close to you as a father to his children. I should say, if you feel distant from God today, maybe you're here today and you're yet to turn to the Lord, yet to trust him, Jesus holds out this word Father, our Father, as a word that you can use to God. You can take up and use and speak to him because Christ died for you and because God's Spirit is available to you. So call upon God as Father. Call upon him now. You could even do that now. Father, please receive me. The genuine experience of every Christian is to call upon the Lord of heaven and earth as Father. Okay, I've laboured that point, haven't I? But wow, what a privilege. John Calvin says, by the sweetness of this name, the Father frees us from all distrust. We love having children here at Redeemer, and it is interesting. When I meet the three-year-olds, they go all quiet and shy. I don't think I'm that scary, but they seem to think so. Anyway, the parents say, oh, well, she's not like this at home. She's always crying out, Mum, help, Dad, can I have, blah, blah, blah. That's a good picture of God's people. We're not to shy away from God. He's our Father. He knows what we need. We're to cry out to him as the one who knows and the one who loves us, our Father in heaven. Okay, that's a long time on the opening address of the prayer. Let's move a bit faster. Three of the first three requests, God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, we can group those under praying God's priorities, praying for his priorities first. Let's just quickly touch on each of them. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed is that old English word. May it be holy. Or in other words, may your name be treated as special. So we're praying, God, might your name be precious to us and honoured by all. And why are we talking about his name? Because as with the name, so with the person. The one goes with the other. We want to honour his name because we want to honour his person. God, might you be loved with all the awe and respect and joy that you are due. Oh, we're familiar with Jesus Christ being treated as a curse word. Well, here's a prayer for the opposite. Father, would you be held in admiration? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Here, the prayer is for God's saving rule and power to grow. When Jesus began his ministry, if you remember Mark chapter 1, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Oh, how has it come near? In what way has it come near? Oh, in the person and word of Jesus. And when the kingdom comes near, how should people respond? Oh, he goes on to say, repent and believe. Turn away from serving self. Turn to God. Repent and trust. Trust that he is the Saviour, the King of God's kingdom. To pray your kingdom come, then, is to ask God to use the church's weakness to see more people submit to the Lord Jesus as King. And it's also to pray that the Lord himself would return, bringing the judgment and the new creation and his kingdom, which will never end. It's both and. The kingdom is both now and not yet, and we're praying your kingdom come for both of those. Your will be done. We elsewhere learn that God's will, what God wants, his ways are good, acceptable, perfect. And so here we're praying that his good ways would be picked up and trusted and lived, gladly obeyed in this world, not only by the church here on earth, but also by everyone. It will be the case in the new creation that everyone will only and always want to do God's will. Oh, might that be the case now, Lord. Might people turn and trust you and find you to be the good and gracious God that you are. So here's the big priorities that Jesus teaches us to pray. We haven't actually even got to our own needs yet. But do you notice? We're praying first to our Father, second for his priorities. That's a great corrective for us. Like, instead of thinking that, well, I need to tell God all the things that I need first, that's the main priority. Actually, God wants us to pray for his things first. To approach God, not with, here's what I want from you, but to approach God and say, God, what do you want from us? Because whatever God wants for us, because he's such a loving Father, that's what we need. That's what will be for our good. So it is a corrective, I find, to begin prayers. And here the idea is that not only do we use these words, but we pick up the ideas, the priorities. So in your prayers, do you pray for God's priorities? You can. Jesus teaches you to do so right here. Third heading, our daily needs. Where it goes on to say, give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and keep us in the midst of temptation from the evil one. Let's think just briefly about our daily needs. Is it strange to pray, give us our daily bread? Is that a strange thing for you to pray? It shouldn't be, but it might be. You think to yourself, well, I've actually got a couple of loaves of bread in the freezer. I've got plenty of rice in the cupboard. So do I need to pray, give us our daily bread? We do live in a nation of abundance. Praise the Lord for the abundance that we have. But even here in Aotearoa, there are families in need. For example, the Salvation Army Church just over here, it has a food ministry, gives out food parcels every week to families here in Hornby. There are absolutely families in need in our nation, and multiply that by, well, I don't know what, around the world. This prayer is as literal as it is desperate. God, food today and tomorrow. So even as we maybe have a loaf of bread in the freezer, we can still pray, give us our daily bread, because we're actually praying at that point not just for ourselves but for us, the people of God. Another way to think about this is daily necessities, and there are many of those. Martin Luther taught that this line encourages us, permits us to pray for things like, Lord, a job, please, an income, please help with my payments for this or for that. Luther taught that it trained us to pray for fair weather for farmers. It taught us to pray for work for small business owners. Justice for the mistreated. Patience for weary parents. Actually, once you start listing them, there's quite a lot of daily needs, aren't there? Give us today our daily necessities is what Luther said we can use this line to pray. But it then goes on to talk about our relational needs, namely the need for forgiveness. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness from others when we sin against them. Jesus here speaks about our sins as debts to remind us of the weight and burden that our sins are to us. Sometimes people get the idea that sins aren't that serious. I'm not a sinner, or I haven't done anything that bad. Actually, we all have, the Bible says. And as we think about them as debts and weights and burdens, oh, we can recognise that easily enough. Here is a prompt to remember. Your debts are paid. At the cross, Jesus Christ paid them for you so that we might come with our debts to him. It's not easy to do this, but to bring them to him who forgives us and wipes the slate clean as far as the east is from the west. Clearly, in this passage, forgiving others is something that people like us struggle to do, because in verse 12 and in verse 14 and 15, Jesus emphasises strongly that forgiveness received from God naturally works out in forgiveness extended to others. Anything less is hypocrisy. To say, well, thank you, Lord, I need you to forgive me, but to say, well, I'm not going to forgive you, I'm going to hold a grudge against you forever. Now, that doesn't work. And the Lord is strong against that. The one leads to the other. Well, then the final pair of lines, verse 13, speak to our spiritual hazards. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're sort of talking about two sides of the same coin here. The prayer is that God would keep us out of trouble and deliver us when we're in the grip of the evil one. The Apostle Peter actually teaches that the devil is like a roaring lion. Some people think lightly of the devil, laugh at the devil. You know, where there's a bike race where a guy wears the, what has he got? Like, he wears the devil horns and he has like a little pitchfork and he's got a red suit. And we're all supposed to say, ha, 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 isn't that funny? What a silly idea. The Bible doesn't think that the devil is a silly idea. It calls him a roaring lion, a liar, father of lies. What's the devil's main aim, do you know? To have you give up on Jesus Christ. To have you forget about God. Is he winning on that front? Well, do you know of anyone who's given up on Jesus Christ? Do you know of anyone who forgets about God? Oh, Lord, we pray, keep us, deliver us from the evil one. You are safe with the Lord, but you are not free from hazard. So you're trained to pray, Lord, keep us from these spiritual hazards. Keep us through them. So in summary, here is not only words to use as a prayer, but a very pattern for your prayers. Father, bring about your priorities. Supply our daily needs. You can use the words and you can expand on the words. You can add more as time and circumstance require, which all of which means that you can pray. The Master has taught you, even just in these few short words. As a footnote, I should just mention, there's a last part of it, the prayer that we pray, which is often called the doxology or the word of glory. Glory, doxa, same word. Giving glory to God. And that word, that doxology is those words, for the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Now, does that appear in your Bible text? Can you see those words? No, I can't either. Well, it's actually in a footnote. Do you see the footnote? Footnote F. It's there. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. These words were added later to this prayer. We use them every week when we pray. But they were added by the church. So it's not part of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's absolutely consistent with what Jesus teaches. Does Jesus teach us to give glory to God? Yes. Does Jesus teach us that all power comes from him and belongs to him? Yes. So therefore, it's appropriate to pray that last line of the Lord's Prayer. In fact, it's helpful because it says that we begin with God and his priorities, we descend and pray for our needs, and then we end with God and his glory. So helpful. You can pray. It's one thing to say that, it's another thing to do it. Let me finish with my own experience and observation. For the person who says, look, I get all of the theory, I understand it all, and I am encouraged by some of these things that Jesus says, I just find it hard to do it in practice. I just find praying hard. Is that you? To you, I say, actually meeting with other Christians and praying helps you to pray individually. If you want to grow in praying, pray with other Christians. Because when we pray, that helps me to pray. Do you notice that dynamic? That you come to church, you think, oh, actually, I feel like praying now. Or you've gone to growth group, you think, oh, actually, that was better than I expected. I was grumpy before I went, and then I went, and oh, actually, I feel closer to the Lord as a result. Yeah, meeting together like this helps us to pray. So if you struggle to pray, keep meeting. Keep meeting together. Because when we are praying, that rubs off on me praying. And now let me pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, by your Son, you teach us to pray. So work in us by your Spirit and help us to pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.